1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. The lines are getting screened right now. We'll be bringing callers in here shortly. We got to get a few little pedigree information, you know, name, zip code, general area, what the question is. We're screening really hard to find everything that we can stump Rosie with.
Yeah.
Because we all need more to really? Do during the week on follow-up.
Really appreciate that.
I pulled a good article out of the mansion section yesterday in the Wall Street Journal talking about pros and cons of an older home. You know, there's definitely a lot more architectural features in older homes and a lot of, you know, what you would associate growing up at grandpa's house. You got the wainscoting and the different types of craftsmanship, and everything's a little bit more personalized or character as opposed to, you know, something that's put together in a master plan subdivision where you've got six blueprints, styles that, you know, this home is exactly the same as the one, but the blueprint is flipped. we have 12 blueprints, not six styles, but some of the things to look for in an older home, if you're looking, though, is if it's 50 to 100 years old, there could be asbestos, lead paint, or mold issues to look for and be prepared on.
Absolutely.
A lot of your appliances, if it's not kept up or maintained, big ticket items, air conditioning, roofing, plumbing drains are a big one, and water supply line. Those are some big ticket items that could really really hit you hard, because there are things that you can let go in your home and you don't need to fix if you can't or it's not the right time. You can't go without water.
That's tough.
Supply or drainage. You can't go without replacing your roof. Probably not going to do very well without replacing your air conditioning. A good chance when a neighborhood in Arizona reaches 30 years, it is now can be qualified to get registered as a historic home or a historic neighborhood. I'm not saying every neighborhood that's over 30 years
no.
is going to qualify for that by any stretch of the imagination. But there are areas that, well, if it's a historic home, you may look at the home and say, oh, this is great for us. We just need to add this, or we just need to do that. And this would be the perfect home because it's the best location. Well, those historic neighborhoods may have restrictions on what you can and can't do, and that you have to get approval at the time you're going to do renovations because they're trying to keep that historic look and feel. So you can't just go in and do whatever you want on that home. It seems kind of productive. I own the home and I bought it. Well, yes, you did, but the reason it's such a high value is because we've maintained the historic look of this neighborhood, and that's why the home's valued more. So
absolutely.
If you want to live in this neighborhood, you have to live in these historic guidelines to preserve the home. So check those to make sure you're not getting into a home that you're thinking, well, this will be perfect after I do this. Well, you can't do that.
That's a good point. Go in with both eyes open. Ask all the questions up front.
And then if it is an older home, a lot of people are going to try and sell you into a home warranty. And we're not big fans of home warranties. There is insurance, equipment, and breakage insurance that's a lot cheaper, and you then get to pick the contractor to do the work for you. If you're tied into a home warranty, well, they tell you who's coming to work on your home, and a lot of times those people don't have the best interest in your mind, and upselling you is part of their income to, you need this done, you need that done, and we're going to sell you this equipment. It's the only one that works, and it's just so happens 25% more than a perfectly good unit that would work. So it's much better to do equipment and damage insurance than to do a home warranty, because it puts you in control of who you invite to your home.
Hey, we're getting back to staycations. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
And we have a new feature. We have a new article each month on the destination. So a lot of times people say, hey, I'm going here or there and I don't know what to do. And this month is open and you're probably thinking, I don't know what to do. So on our website, we will have an article. And if you win, we'll be happy to forward that to you to give you some great tips. So you have till the 15th to enter for that one. And you can just email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. And in that staycation, we have some fantastic stuff. We have everybody ready to play again. And Divine Gourmet and Gilbert is offering wonderful local baskets with local fare. They even make their own caramels and some mixes. And so if you're worried about getting any kind of gifts on time, they're a great place to shop. Get some great local food, some wine, some clothing. They got all kinds of cool stuff. So they, this coming month, will have a Divine Gourmet Basket. They will also have a selection of books from Arizona Highways. And boy, do they have some fantastic books. Everything from how to hike and where to hike and some beautiful coffee table books. Those will be included. And last but not least, Arizona State Park passes. So if you get stuck on where to go, you can never lose by going to one of our beautiful Arizona State Parks.
Arizona Staycation, only available at Rosie on the House. We have a lot of fun hearing back from the people that win those and how much fun they've had on the trip. I love it. You were talking about older homes, you know. Jennifer and I talked, Romy and Amanda and Tinley and Roxy and Remy and Landry, all to meet us up at Arizona Snow Bowl on Monday. I love driving through Flagstaff and looking at all that volcanic rock hand-laid structures, the igneous rock. What could be more permanent than building a home or a community building, community center, out of volcanic rock? The termites that just break their teeth. I love that look. I love that look in Flagstaff. I really do.
Natural masonry. CMUs you didn't have to manufacture. Just
yeah,
to
that's
walk
right.
Around and find.
A little labor-intensive setting to make sure your top plate ended up level. But, boy, it's absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous work. We're talking a little bit in our website. Every week we have a particular tip on what to do in, about, and around your house. This particular week, we're talking about cleaning your patio. You know, in Arizona, on February 4th, you could actually be outside hosing off and power washing your back patio, as opposed to spraying Pam on your snow shovel, digging your house out in Indianapolis or Minneapolis or wherever else your cousins might be. It's almost a little bit fun this time of year to just call on my sister in Woodland Park, Colorado, whose home is at 9,400 feet, or even my sister in Branson, Missouri, who's now under an absolute complete freeze. And then they like to call us back in July and August when we're experiencing 115-degree weather and make fun of us. But you know what? If it weren't for our summers, Arizona would have 30 million people here. So I've gotten, for that reason alone, the motivation to fall in love with our 110 and 115-degree days because it's kept us under 8 million people, but not by much. I think we're about breaking there. But in Arizona, you could be refinishing your patio concrete in the middle of winter. Where else in the country could you do that and do it safely? There are specific steps that we would take in cleaning concrete, in particular in, about, and around your barbecue area that may or may not have had a spill or two of grease. Before you refinish or reseal any concrete, you're going to want to pull that grease out around off of the floor surrounding the barbecue area. You can find the degreasing cleanser. We like a company here that's statewide called Marvell Masonry. You can get the concrete cleaners there. We tell people apply it, follow the directions, be careful of where you rinse it because you possibly could be rinsing it into a planter that the chemical could be caustic to your plants there. So you got to be aware of there. Get the grease pulled out. And now we want to clean the entire surface. And there's an equipment that you probably won't buy it. It's too expensive and you don't need it often enough. But you can go rent a scrubber, a water scrubber that you stand up, and it's like a floor buffer and a power washer combined. But it's not the strength of a power washer. It's not pushing water out at 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 PSI or more. It's in a swirling pattern, and it's a high enough pressure to actually clean the surface of the concrete. Allow it to dry, and then you're probably going to need two people while you're at Marvell Masonry picking up the cleanser for the concrete patio. Go ahead and pick up a concrete sealer. Now, in picking a sealer, I know some of you get an idea that you'd like that to always look wet so you get the glossy finish. I would never, ever recommend that for you unless you're so obsessively compulsive about that look, you're willing to adopt that as a monthly maintenance program that will have to be done regularly, or it will start looking horrible very, very soon into the future. So go with the matte finish. It's going to take two of you. Go ahead and apply the sealer with what I call a Hudson sprayer or garden sprayer. And you're going to need a second person rolling or brushing that into the pores of the concrete and or the pavers. Don't allow any puddling of it, and don't allow a thin area to go uncovered well. Do an area of about 50 square feet, get it manicured into the pores and the surface really well, and then move on to the next 50 square feet. It really does take two people to do this. If you're in charge of the job, you want to be the one on the sprayer, standing up, spraying, because the other person is going to be crawling on their hands and knees, brushing or rolling the product into the pores of the concrete and or the pavers. Protect yourself. Don't do it under the wind. Wear respirators. Wear clothes that are willing and shoes that you're willing to sacrifice for the job. Don't apply it under wind when the sealer could be drifting onto vegetation, or possibly if you're doing a driveway onto your car. Do it only on calm days. Do it with two people, and it will look really good. In a matte finish concrete, you can probably expect to have to redo that about every 3 to 5 years to keep it looking decent. Marvell Masonry, it is your place to go stop and shop for the products you'd need to get this job done.